Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Brother, it is an honor to come before you, brothers and sister. And I don't do it lightheartedly. And so just to give you a little taste of what the Lord has given me. So I start out from the beginning. My mom and my dad, they were con artists and out in New York. And so they were arrested, and my mom was pregnant at the time. Now, she was pregnant with me. And so the doctors had previously told her, when she had my brother that's 2 years older than me, told her that if she had another child, it would kill her. Mm. And but by her being a Catholic, she wouldn't get an abortion. Mm-hmm. So anyway, she was arrested and sentenced, and she was in prison. And she went into labor. And so she went into premature labor at 7 months, and they had to extract me out of her right before she passed away. Mm-hmm. So I was born in prison in New York. So my grandmother came and got me and brought me to my great aunt in Chicago, who was raising my other siblings. I have two sisters and three brothers. And so she was already raising them. So anyway, grew up in Chicago, and on the south side of Chicago. And so there was no men. I mean, all the men was either dead or in prison. I mean, so all there was women raising children on welfare. So I grew up in Chicago, and the gangs recruited me at the age of 12. Wow. So didn't have a choice at the matter. They was everywhere. They was all over the place, and you wasn't gonna escape it. So so anyway, I grew up learning how to rob, steal, kill, and so forth, literally. I mean, it was a nightmare. I'm talking about around every corner. Was a bully. Around every corner, you know, was a gang banger, you know, drug dealer. I mean, so there was no one to inspire you. There was no one there to be an example. The examples I seen was pimps and drug dealers and, you know, and gun runners and so forth. So anyway, I had a heart-long desire to get out of that. I hated growing up there in Chicago. I mean, I was miserable. I mean, life was crazy. So anyway, I grew up and I didn't know nothing about God, didn't go to church. But I had heard about this Jesus. And so I was like, Lord, if you're real, Lord, deliver me from this place.
Amen.
Lord, take me up out of here.
Yeah.
So I can't do this no more. I mean, there's some things that I'm not very proud of, you know, and I hate doing it. But I had to put a mask on, you know, to survive and to live in that area, you know. I mean, so on the inside of me was a loving, compassionate person, but I couldn't show that.
Mm.
I couldn't show no weakness because it could have cost me my life. So anyway, I went along with the program. So I say probably, well, I ended up meeting this young lady. She was also a gang member, and she saved my life. I was one of the gang leaders had just got out of prison, and we were at this party celebrating him being released, and I didn't know it was him, and I was drunk and clowning, and you know, Long story short, he was about to kill me, and she stopped him because she knew who he was. And so, of course, I fell in love. And so, long story short, we ended up having 4 kids. But before I left Chicago, we had 3 kids. And so I guess I must have been about 24. So my cousin, she was telling me, she said, there's a place called Wisconsin. And she said, it's really nice. She said, you can really get your hustle on. She said, it's good money. She said, and the welfare is good. I'm like, sign me up, you know. I mean, so first thing smoking, we got out here to Racine, Wisconsin. And a little while after that, my wife left me. I mean, I was abusive, and, you know, although I wanted to change, there was no change in me. I was still the same person. I mean, because I didn't know how to change, you know. I hadn't been transformed and renewed. So I tried to get a job. Nobody would hire me. I mean, I didn't have a high school diploma. After 8th grade, my teacher and the principal met me at the door, and they told me, they said, we don't want to see you for another year. We're going to send you your diploma in the mail. We're not going to, we're not going to, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Put you back. We're not going to put you back, but we're going to get you out of here. So I'm like, cool, you know. Mm-hmm. So they sent me my grade school diploma. So by the time, you know, the new year came around, you know, for me to go to high school, I was like, no, I ain't finna do that. So I hung outside in the high school with the rest of the fellas and, you know, selling drugs and gambling and, you know, messing with the girls and until I got arrested for dealing drugs and, you know, so long story short, I ran from Chicago. I had warrants on me. I did a couple of bits in Cook County Jail. And anybody that's been there know that that's like prison. Mm. It's crazy up in there. I'm talking about everything happens up in Cook County Jail. I'm talking about, you know, drug dealing, murders, you know. And so anyway, I got out of Chicago. My cousin said, come on, let's go. So ended up in Racine, Wisconsin. Mm. Then my wife left me. And one of my homies, he went up to Madison, Wisconsin to get a package to bring back to Racine. And when he got back, he said, guess who I seen? I'm like, who? He said, your wife. I said, what? Okay. I said, how do I get to this place called Madison? So anyway, I didn't drive, didn't know how to drive. And a lot of Chicagoans don't. Because there's, you know, there's really not a lot of places to park. Same in New York. I mean, I lived in New York for a while. And a lot of people don't have cars. I mean, because there's no place to park. Mm-hmm. So the public transportation in Chicago gets you anywhere you want to go. You can go all over Chicago, all over the suburbs. Anywhere you want to go, the public transportation will take you. So I didn't know how to drive. So anyway, got on the bus and came up to Madison. So I found my wife and, you know, we didn't get back together, but, you know, we kept on messing around. And so at this time, a void began to just approach, coming from nowhere. It just, a void was on the inside of me. I didn't even know it was a void. I didn't know what it was called, but I was miserable, I was depressed, and my heart was heavy. I mean, it was like a weight on my heart, and I didn't know what the problem was, and I was angry all the time. Mm. So I tried to fill that void with women and drugs and alcohol and stuff, you know, electronics and, you know, whatever the latest gadgets was. And I mean, I had it. You know, I was just out there had money because I was a real good hustler. But nothing could fill that void. And so I was at that point where I was ready to die. I mean, I was just that miserable. So I would put on all my jewelry. I had diamond rings and a diamond earring and gold ropes. And so I went to what was considered as the rough part of Madison, if there's really such a thing, you know. And so I'm out there and, you know, I got my gun cocked and I'm ready. See, I wanted to die, but I was too much of a coward to kill myself. So I'm gonna try to get somebody to stick me up, and then we're gonna shoot it out, you know, and we're gonna both go. But that wasn't God's plan. So, I mean, after, you know, a week or two after that, I'm like, wow, I gave up on that. I mean, if I had been out in Chicago like that, somebody had got me a long time ago, you know. So, plan B. I hear about this liquor store where someone tried to rob this liquor store, and the gun proprietor, the guy that runs the liquor store, he ended up shooting the guy and kills him. I was like, oh, okay. I said, we got a tough one. Yeah. So I'm like, okay. So this one dark, rainy night, I get my pump shotgun, and I put my coat on because it was windy enough for a coat. And so I got my shotgun up under my coat, and I'm standing outside in the rain. I'm waiting for the customers to leave up out of the store. So I got something for this guy, you know. And I'm like, either we're going to kill each other, or I'm just going to get out of there with the money. And either one, I'm all right with it, you know. But I was ready to die. So anyway, this beautiful woman walked up. Talking about she was fine. And she walked up again to talk to me. And I thought it was really ironic. This lady, she was telling me all about God and telling me about how precious this life is that God gave us. You know, and I was like, wow, I'm ready to get my hands up. And here she is telling me about, you know, how precious life is. So, you know, I turn around and light a cigarette. And when I turned back around, she was gone. And you know, so it's dark and rainy, so I'm thinking she went this way or went that way. So I'm trying to find out where she went, because I didn't hear no car pull up that fast, you know. But I couldn't find her. So, but the things that she said to me, just, it did something on the inside of my heart. I'm talking about, I don't know what it was, but the things that she said just had my heart on fire, you know. And so I was like, okay. We're going to 86 this plan. So I turned around and went back home. I'm like, no, we ain't finna die tonight. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I went to bed and I dreamt all night long about all these different prisons and about the county jail. And these was places that I would be in later. And so I guess we call it deja vu or prophecy. I don't know. But I dreamt about all these places, all these prisons, and I had never been yet. And so the next day I get out there to, you know, go on my hustle, because, you know, I need to, I'm an alcoholic, I'm a drug addict, and I need some money, and I need to get high. So I get out there the next day to get my hustle on, and the police snatch me right away. As soon as I get out there, they snatch me, and I had warrants. I had warrants from Chicago. I had warrants from Racine. So, oh, wow. So here it is. I'm sitting up in Dane County Jail. And it's taking them forever to process me in. And so, you know, everybody's running back and forth and just a lot of chaos going on. I later come to find out someone hung themselves. And so it took them so long to come get me, and I'm so bored. Something on the inside of me tell me, go get that book that's sitting on in the corner. It was a book you know, and on the other side of the room. And I had noticed it, you know, but I ignored it. And something on the inside said, go get that book and read it. And I said out loud, I said, I don't even like to read. I'm gonna go get that book. But I was so bored, I went and got it. I went and got that book, and sure enough, it was a Bible. I had never opened up a Bible before in my life. And here it is, I'm about 25 years old. Never opened up a Bible. So I began to read it. And it was like, wow. Like, what is this? I'm reading all these stories, and I'm amazed. And it's just blowing. I can't put it down. And so I began to read and read. And it's taking them so long to come get me. By the time they came and got me, I'm all the way up to the book of Romans. Yes. But now, you know, I skipped a lot of those books where they talk about this person begotten that person all the boring books. I skipped a lot of that. And so, but I read all the interesting stories, and it blew me away. And so, something that took place on the inside of me, because that void that I had began to lift. Even the heaviness of my heart had begun to lift.
That's right.
Didn't know what was going on. I was cool with it. So finally they came and got me and took me on upstairs. They processed me in. And so it was so crowded up in there. I'm laying on the floor. And I couldn't wait to get up in the morning because I want to read some more of this. You know, I'm talking about it was good. And so I got up in the morning, first thing I did was grab that Bible, and I went and sat down at the table, and I began to read it. And so some of my gang members recognized me, and they came and they're like, what you doing? I said, I'm reading the Bible. They said, can we read too? I said, yeah. So they sat down next to me, right? And guess what? I started teaching the Bible. Look at God. I'm talking about I started teaching the Bible. Before I left that pod, almost everybody on there was reading the Bible with me.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
Right.
Never seen nothing like it. You know, I mean, I'm still tripping on it. So, long story short, I ended up getting 20 years. And so, it broke my heart. But I'm feeling all right, though. You know, I ain't really tripping, you know, because this weight done left. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe I need this little rest, you know. So I end up, you know, getting to prison, to Walpon. And so, you know, I'm calling myself going, you know, make a new change in my life, you know. But sure enough, as soon as I get through the door, what do I see? I see a couple of my guys that I grew up with in Chicago that I gangbanged with. And these were some of my tight buddies. So, of course, you know what I did. I put the Bible down and I began to gangbang, clown, and act a fool. So, one day, we ended up jumping on some correctional officers in the child hall. And so they threw everybody in the hole. And so we're waiting on a special prosecutor to come out of Columbia County to prosecute us. And so one by one, each one of these guys, they was coming back and said, yeah, man, they're going to give me 10 years. Yeah, they're going to give me 11 years. And one was like, they're going to give me 15 years. And then another guy, one of my close homies came, and he like, man, they finna hit me with 33 years.
Wow.
My mouth fell open, and I said, Lord, help me. I said, Lord, I can't do this. And the first thing I did was I fell to the floor, prostrate, my face to the floor, and I cried out. I said, Lord, help me. I said, Lord, if you deliver me from this, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Now, of course, I was lying. I didn't, you know, I'm just keeping it real. I mean, I didn't know what I was talking about. You know, I'm just saying something trying to come up from up under this, you know. You know how we do sometimes. You know, we play with God like he's a genie in a bottle. Mm-hmm. So this is exactly what I did. So they come get me, and I'm in the security office, and the security director, he got the videotapes because there's cameras everywhere. And so he was like, there you go, Mr. Smalls, you're doing this, this, and that to my officers. I said, no, that ain't me. I said, I'm over here, and because we're in the chow hall, so I'm over here, and I was getting some ice cream. You know, I was stealing some ice cream because I had a sweet tooth. I said, that ain't none of me. So guess what happened? A couple of the sergeants was like, yeah, I don't think that is Mr. Smalls. I think that is him over there. And they all turned and looked at him like, what did you just do? They're like, yo, you crazy? You out of your mind? You just gave him a scapegoat. I mean, because the special prosecutor was there. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Wow.
So anyway, the security director, he tells me, he said, well, you know, we may not be able to prove that this is you right here. I mean, because, you know, it's a distance. You really can't tell. You can, but you can't.
Right.
So he said, you know what? I can't prove that this is you, but I know what my officers done told me. He says, so you're going to sit and sag for the rest of your bed. You're not coming up out of the hole. So they put me on administrative sag. So here it is. In Waupun, they call the sag the greenhouse. And that's because you behind double doors, these steel doors, and a set of them doors, they're green. And you can't hear nothing. You can't see nothing. You can't smell nothing. You're totally isolated. And they let you out once a week to take a shower. And that's it. You can't have nothing up in there. You can have writing material and stamps. You can have one book. You can have either a cyclopedia, a law book, or a Bible. And so, of course, I picked the Bible. So I sat in the hole for 4 years, and I studied that word, and I devoured it. It was so good, and I just ate it up. So had a couple of experiences. One of the things that happened while I was in the hole was, I was like, Lord, I'm so lonely. Lord, I haven't heard from none of my family. I haven't had no... no letters or nothing. I said, Lord, bless me with some mail from my family. And so I'm standing on scripture, and I'm believing that I'm going to get some mail today. Mm-hmm. So sure enough, when the officer came by, he slid about 8 letters up under my door. Oh, I got so happy. Mm-hmm. I got so excited. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. And so I got these letters. And just about every last one of these letters was from some Christian organization or from some different Christian brother. And man, I was so mad I threw that mail across the room. I said, Lord, this ain't what I asked for. And the Lord spoke to me. He gave me a verse in the Bible. It was Matthew, and I think it's chapter 10. It's been so long ago, and I'm not for sure what verse. But here's what it says. I mean, at first, I'm thinking, okay, I'm tripping, right? That ain't the Lord. That's just me. That's just me. The Lord ain't spoke to me. But I say, you know what? I'm finna look this scripture up just to prove that that wasn't the Lord. I looked the scripture up, and it said that the Pharisees had came and got Jesus and said, your mother, your brother, and your sisters are outside waiting on you to attend to your needs. And Jesus turned to his disciples and pointed to them and said, who is my mother, my brother, and my sister, except for those who live according to my Father's will, who is in heaven? Mm-hmm. And it hit me. Mm-hmm. I got it right then and there. Mm-hmm. The Lord was telling me that I did send you mail from your family. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Praise God. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. So, end up doing a SAG swap, and they sent me to Green Bay Correctional. And because I had been praying, I was like, Lord, I done seen the error of my ways. Lord, take me about this SAG. I'm talking about this. That stuff was crazy, being up in there isolated every day, for 4 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody to talk to, mm-hmm. nothing. So the Lord had me transferred to Green Bay Correctional. Now this is Gladiator School. I'm talking about this is where the rubber meets the mat. I'm talking about. So anyway, the lieutenant that runs the segregation at Green Bay, I had began to talk to him, right? Because the Lord had begun to deliver me. Because I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, take away this filthy language out of my mouth. Every word out of my mouth was a cuss word. And I said, Lord, if I'm going to serve you, I want to do it wholeheartedly. And I don't want to mislead people. And I don't want to disgrace you. So the Lord did it. I'm talking about, I mean, almost overnight. You know, I just, he took that language out of my mouth. You know, I mean, it was a miracle, you know, because all my life, that's all I did, you know. And so anyway, I began to develop a relationship with the officer. And he said, well, if you continue in this good behavior, then I'll look at releasing you from SAE. I mean, because at this point, I was a security risk. And once they stamp you, your file with security risk, there's no movement. They're not going to let you do nothing, you know. I mean, so anyway, I was excited. I was expecting to get out of the hole. But then he ended up getting transferred. Oh, man. So the new guy shows up, and I tell him, I said, man, the old dude, he was going to release me. You know, he said, well, I'll stick to that same deal. You keep up your behavior, and I'll look at releasing you. And so, long story short, I got released about 6 months later. But I can't get no job. They're not letting me out of my cell to do nothing. You know, I'm in general population, but all I could do is go to the child. And I was going to rap. But other than that, I'm still in my cell all day. You know, because really the only thing that gives you a little release is having a job or going to school. So I got in school. And I didn't have no high school diploma. So I ended up taking my HSED. And in 1 year's time, I got my HSED. I mean, so that's almost unheard of.
Yeah.
Because I didn't, this stuff was like a foreign language to me. I mean, I didn't understand none. All as far as I went was to eighth grade. And I wasn't doing all that good in there, you know. So it was like a whole new language. Mm-hmm. But God was with me every step of the way. And I'm talking about I got my HSED in a year. So, so anyway, the Lord began to speak to me. And because when I got out of the hole, you know, I got to hanging out with the old fellas. It's all I knew, you know. I didn't know nothing about, you know, Christianity and all that. So got to hanging out with my folks. So the Lord told me, he said, go tell your guys that you lay your flag down and you no longer serve them. But you follow and you serve the one true living God. Mm. I said, Lord, I ain't finna tell them, man. You ain't finna get my head busted. I'm gonna bust my head to the white meat. No, I ain't finna do that. Lord, stop speaking to me. I didn't hear him no more. Mm. I was like, Lord, okay. About after a week, I was like, okay, Lord, I'll do it. So the doors open. I went. And I seen these guys, right? I know what's gonna happen. I tell them, I said, look, you know, they you know, reach out to give me the handshake and all that. I said, no. I said, I lay my flag down. I said, I follow the Lord Jesus Christ now. Oh, they was about to whoop me. But the Lord delivered me. The one guy that was the leader, he said, stop. He said, leave him alone. He said, but from now on, you're on your own. He said, don't come around us. Don't speak to us. Don't sit with us. You're on your own. And so I was like, praise God. So I mean, you know, they would ridicule me and laugh at me and talk about me. I'm like, all right, you know. But the Lord delivered me in that situation, so I thank God. And so I began to grow and just mature in Christ. Went and got baptized in his name, filled with the Holy Ghost. I began to speak in tongues. And so, you know, God was really good, and he just did some awesome things. But before I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I would go to church. And, you know, I still had a lot of pride in me and a lot of fear. So I would, you know, when they let me out of my cell to go to church, I would have my Bible up under my coat. And so, because I didn't want nobody to see it, you know. I was ashamed and embarrassed of the Lord, right? Then when I got in church, you know, I was like, I wouldn't lift my hands up. I wouldn't say hallelujah, praise the Lord. I mean, because I was scared. You know, I didn't want people to see me. You know, I didn't know nothing about this God. You know, I didn't, you know, I kind of thought, yeah, he real, you know, but this prison, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, man. I didn't care who seen me. Man, I was going to all the Bible studies. I was going to the services. I didn't care who seen my Bible. I mean, I had big old concordance I would take with me, my Bible, and all this, you know. And I just began to witness to everybody. Every last one of them gang members that wanted to jump on me, I began to see each and every one of them come to my cell. Wow. And ask me for prayer. Pray for this and pray for that, you know, my family. Whatever the situation was, pray about my job and all this, you know. And so I began to see each and every one of them surrender their lives to the Lord. It's the power of God. I mean, it had nothing to do with me, you know. And so God just wanted to use me right there in prison. So I began to serve the Lord right there in prison. I began to live for him wholeheartedly. You know, I just began to turn everything away. Just stand for Christ. So anyway, I get out. I get released after 16 years. And so one of the correctional officers, she say, yeah, we're going to leave the lights on. And so what that means is you'll be back, you know. And just automatically, without even thinking, I say, yeah, I will be back. But when I come back, I'm going to have a suit on. And I'm not going to have no handcuffs on. I'm going to have cufflinks on. Amen. And I'm coming back with my Bible, and I'm a witness to these men. Amen. Amen. And so, And so right then and there, the prison ministry was planted on the inside of me. Mm. I hated prison. I had no plans on going back to prison for nothing. You know. But I got out. Oh, let me back up. While I was in prison, I met this brother named Big Frank. And Big Frank told me, he said, right now, he said, even though you got a lot of years to go, he said, right now you need to be praying about five basic things. You need to be praying about who your wife gonna be. You need to be praying about who your parole agent gonna be. You need to be praying about who your pastor is gonna be, who's gonna be your covering. Praying about your job, what type of job you're gonna have. And he said, be specific. I'm like, okay. So I began to pray about those things. And one by one, I began to see each and every one of these things come to pass, specifically exactly what I asked for. I prayed about my parole agent, and so I got out, and this parole agent I had was a beast. I'm talking about, man, big old giant man. They feared this woman. I'm talking about gangsters. They feared this woman. Because I'm talking about she was sending folks back left to right. I'm talking. And so that's what I had, right? I say, Lord, I say, this ain't what I prayed about. And sure enough, I come back the next visit because I had to see the parole agent every week. I mean, they still had me down as a security risk, even after I got on the streets. And so this lady, she say, well, my caseload is too heavy. I'm going to have to send you over to another agent. I said, glory to God. Glory to God. You know? And so that was just really, really exciting. But with every one of those situations, that type of thing happened. Now my first job was in a convenience store. And so here it is. I'm selling lottery tickets. I'm selling beer, selling cigarettes. And it's convicting my spirit. I'm talking about I'm sick on the inside. I'm like, Lord, I can't do this. I say, Lord, no. I say, Lord, this ain't what I prayed about. The thing that I prayed about was, I said, Lord, and for years I prayed this prayer, Lord, bless me with a job, a first shift job, Monday through Friday. And I want to be a machine operator. I want to learn how to fix machines and so forth and to operate machines. I don't know why I said that, because I had never held down a job before. I had been a hustler all my life. So anyway, he said, be specific. So I got out, and I'm working at this convenience store. And I was like, Lord, this ain't it. Lord, I'm missing church, you know. Because I'm working on weekends, working nights, and all type of crazy stuff. So anyway, I'm dealing with this one Christian organization called MUM. It's called Madison Urban Ministry. And so the guy asked me if I would go and speak at the United Way. And they had a panel there. And it was called, How Can We Best Serve You on Parole? And so he wanted me to speak and tell them how it is on parole. I was hesitant. I don't want to go in front of no people and speak, you know. But the Lord kept convicting my heart, go. So I'm like, okay, I'll go. So I did. I went, and long story short, some lady from the Urban League came, and she was like, have you found a job? I said, yeah, I got one, but I can't do this. I said, anyway, I need a better job. She said, well, meet me at my office tomorrow. Say, I got the perfect job for you, Monday through Friday, first shift. I said, okay. So it's sounding good already. Yeah. She's like, you're going to be working on the assembly line. I'm like, okay. So I went there, and they hired me right on the spot. And so I'm on the assembly line for 1 week. Then all of a sudden, the floor man, the plant manager, he came up to me, and he was like, would you like to run your own machine, learn how to set up and run your own machine? I said, what? Now, understand how rare this is, because I've only been there for a week. These folks, they don't know me from Adam, you know, and I ain't got no experience. And he come to ask me if I want to learn how to set up my machine and all that. I was like, yeah. So I like, God, to God be the glory. So anyway, I come to find out why this happened. The guy that runs the, I'm a bender. And the guy that runs the vendor department, he was so messed up. I'm talking about he was just a ball of anger and frustration on the inside. I'm talking about, and it was just bubbling up out of him. I'm talking, he was running everybody off. Mm. And he needed some help over there. And they needed to get this product out. So I guess the floor manager thought, look, this old big guy just got out of prison. He ain't finna run him off. So that's how the Lord worked that out, you know. I mean, it's funny the way the Lord do things, you know. I mean, so anyway, I got up in there, and this guy was a nightmare, you know. I'm talking about, wow. Mm. So I began to pray for him. He kept me on my knees, you know. But now we best friends, and he done came to the church, and he done surrendered his life to the Lord. And yeah, to God be the glory. Yeah. To God be the glory. Yeah. So another one of the prayers were about, my job, my parole agent, and about my pastor. So I prayed about that. And my first day out, the Lord kept telling me, you need to find a good church. You need to find a good church. And so I opened up the directory. I got out on a Tuesday. And so I finally surrendered on Saturday. I began to open up the directory and look, it was just so many churches. And then all of a sudden, this one church just jumped out at me. So I called them. And so, anyway, long story short, I ended up at this church, and I had no clue, you know, that I was going to end up becoming a minister there. I mean, I had no clue whatsoever, because all I wanted to do was just come to church, you know. And so, one day, I was at home, I was off work, and I was doing my laundry, and I was fasting this day. And so I was worshiping the Lord, and I heard the Lord tell me, now pray about being a minister. I said, Lord, I don't want to be no minister. And I know when he tell me that, I know he's about to make me a minister. Lord, I don't want to be no minister. That's work. I just want to go to church, you know? So anyway, I was obedient. I prayed about being a minister. And no more than a half an hour later, I get a phone call from one of the pastors from my church. He said, Brother Smalls, he said, do you have a desire to be a minister? I said, what? I dropped the phone, and I prostrated myself, and I just began to worship. And I could hear him in the background just calling me, Brother Smalls, Brother Smalls. And so I finally picked up the phone, and I told him what happened. He said, your pastor believes that the Lord is calling you to be a minister. Like, glory to God. So I was ordained as a minister. And ever since I've been going into the prisons. Right now I go into about 5 of the prisons. I'm also an ordained chaplain, and I'm waiting for a job in one of the prisons. But I go into the prisons and I minister to the men, and I'm just seeing some awesome things that the Lord is doing.
Yes.
I mean, some awesome things. But one more last story I want to tell you. I met this man, Dick Hendricks. The first day that I got out, he came over to the motel where I was at, and he was like, he told me, you know, that one of the volunteers that go into the prisons called his pastor and told his pastor about me, you know, and I didn't have no family in Madison. I didn't have no family, no friends or nothing. And so he came and, you know, he just told me, he said, look, you know, he said, I help you as much as I can, but you got to keep your nose clean and you got to keep it real and serve God. I said, that ain't no problem, you know. So long story short, I didn't know that I was going to end up in the prison ministry. So how many of you know that these prisons are way out? None of them is close by. You can't get on no bus to go to the prison, you know. And so anyway, Dick began to tell me, he said, you're going to need a car here in Wisconsin. I said, really? I said, I ain't never needed one before. He said, you're going to need a car. I'm like, okay, you know. And then I hear one day my pastor preached about it. I said, okay, I think the Lord telling me to go get my license. So long story short, I went, I read the book, I studied it, I passed the test. And so this brother Dick Hendricks, he was like, so what day you want to go out? To learn how to drive. So, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm kind of nervous. I never driven before. So anyway, we went out every Wednesday night. He would come pick me up. We would go out to dinner, and then we would go driving. And so one day he showed up the day before I was going to take the driver's test, and he threw me the keys, and this is a whole different car. I ain't seen this one before. He said, go ahead and get into the passenger seat of your car. And I didn't pay no attention to what he said. And so I got in. He said, did you hear what I said? I said, what? He said, this is your car. Wow. And he gave me the title.
Oh.
To God be the glory.
Wow.
This man gave me the car. And it wasn't no broke, beat down car either. It's a real nice car, Thunderbird. It was a classic. Yeah. To God be the glory.
Yes.
So long story short, I've been going into these prisons, and I'm just looking at the amazing thing that God is doing in these prisons.
Amen.
And before long, I'm going to be a prison chaplain.
Amen.
So God bless.
Amen. Eugene, for that story. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I gotta process that. We want to keep going. Joe McDonald is ready, so maybe we could just kind of just maybe duck out real quick. If we need coffee, restroom, and just come right back, and we'll let Joe get set up here.
We also have a roster. We'd like you to put your phone number on so we can get that ready to go. It's just for the retreat. It's just your phone number.